We can feel your presence here. Your holy presence in this place. Come and do us good, Lord. Open our hearts. Amen. Jesus.
Lord, we just want to say thank you this morning.
Bless him.
Thank you that you are such a good God. And we want to say again and again that all of my days, I'm going to praise just the wonders of who you are. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Thank you, worship team. That was awesome. Good morning, everybody. How are we all doing? Oh, that bad. Oh, no. Oh, dearie me. Hi, everybody. Oh, there are people here. Oh, superb. Are you ready to hear something from the Bible this morning? Good, I hope so. Put your hand up if you're ready for a message. Put your hand up if you're not sure. Put your hand up if you wish you were still in bed. Nobody won. Ben, I could have put money on that though, to be fair. He works very late. It's great to see you all this morning, and I know that God wants to encourage us today, and he wants to challenge us today, but however you feel this morning, he wants to bless us with something, I believe. I just want to start this week, my message this week, by just saying what a fantastic service we had last Sunday at Easter. Does everybody agree with that? What a fantastic time. We celebrated, we had a party, and the service was really different, and it was really, really great. And you know, during the week, a few weeks ago, I had a quick look to see which poor, sorry person had to preach the week after Easter. Which person has to preach after we've had a really different service, and it's really great, and it was me. Which is great, isn't it? And all I could think was, how am I going to follow that? How am I going to follow such a fantastic service, and it's like a really different thing, and there's loads of puppets and stuff for the kids, and you know, and then the more I thought about it, the more I thought about the actual Easter back in the New Testament and how the disciples will have felt, because they've just been through this incredible Easter moment, and there's a mix of emotions, and there's such a big, massive thing that Jesus has risen from the dead, and he's back, and he's been to see them, and they've spent 40 days with him, and we're jumping ahead a little bit, but then he goes to heaven, he ascends to heaven, and Jesus takes them all to a mountaintop. He ascends to heaven, and it tells us in the book of Luke, right at the end of the book of Luke, that the disciples stayed on the mountain and they worshipped him, and then they went back to the temple and they worshipped a bit longer. And it's an amazing few moments, isn't it? It's an incredible few months of big moments. But the moment that intrigues me the most is when they sort of started to stop singing in the temple, and they had to have a moment where they looked at each other, and they must have thought, well, what do we do now? Because this Jesus had gone, they'd left, and basically they were left then to get on with the job that they had at hand, didn't they? And it's really intriguing, because it must have been a bit of an awkward moment. And when they were singing, I bet they were singing Shout to the Lord, you know, like we've just been saying, Shout to the Lord in the temple on the mountain. And they had to have stopped at some point and looked at each other in a little bit of silence and said, right then, well, we better get on with it then. Because you see, Jesus had left them a job to do, and what they had to then do after this big, fascinating, marvelous thing is they had to get on with their day-to-day lives, their step-by-step lives, because you see, what they had to do is they had to go and start eating and drinking and sleeping and working and talking and fellowshipping and doing all the stuff that Jesus had taught them over those last 3 years. And you know, we have big moments in our lives, don't we? We have big moments. You know, maybe for you recently, it's been that big moment when you've given your life to Jesus for the first time, and you've given your life to Him. You decided you believe in Him and all that He is. Or maybe it's the big moment of being baptized. Or maybe it's getting married or having children or getting a new job. But you see, there are big moments. But life in reality doesn't have big moments in it every day. In fact, life is full of days that we just need to keep going step by step. That's the title of my message this morning. Dave's worked it out. And I've decided, by the way, after preparing this message, I've decided, and I don't know if you agree, that marathons are really, really easy. I've made that decision. Because actually, if you think about it, all you have to do is just put one foot in front of the other. So tomorrow, if you're all happy, do you want to join me in the morning? We're going to go on a marathon just before you go to work. We'll just get it done. Because the concept is really simple, isn't it? The concept is really simple. Putting one foot in front of the other. But the reality is, those 26.2 miles are actually very difficult. And it's the same in our lives. The concept of walking every day with God and just taking it step by step, it sounds really simple. It's a simple concept, isn't it? But in reality, it's actually really difficult. And I don't know why we beat ourselves up sometimes for being human about it. But it's one of those things that sounds easy but isn't. I wish I could get it right every single day, you know, doing it God's way and living it right. The Bible calls it righteous living, but in fact, it's really, really difficult. In a minute, we're just going to look at three little words that I've got this morning that tell us how God wants us to live, how God wants us to walk, because the Bible uses that a lot. You see, just like a marathon needs endurance, the Bible tells us that we too need endurance for everyday life. But you see, it doesn't come from us. It comes from our good God. The only hope we have to be able to do this together is if we do it with Him. Isaiah 40, here's my first passage for this morning. Isaiah 40 verse 28 says this, "Do you not know? Have you not heard that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men will stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk." This is me and you. "They will walk and not be faint." When we do our step-by-step life that sometimes really feels like it's taking a toll on us sometimes, we can run and not be weary and walk and not grow faint. I'm sure just like me, you'd love to be one of those people as well. Maybe today you're somebody who's finding your steps, your normal every day, get up tomorrow steps really, really difficult. Maybe something's going on in your life and maybe it feels painful to think about having to be constantly faithful and be the, you know, be a perfect disciple of Jesus, and it's taken its toll a little bit. Well, you know, let me encourage you today, because when you come and put your hope in the Lord, I think it's really interesting what verse 31 says. Let's read it just again together. Those who hope in the Lord, they're going to renew their strength. Well, what does renew mean? The dictionary definition of it is, it means to extend the period of validity or resume after an interruption. And one Bible scholar I read this week said, it means to keep putting on fresh strength. And do you know what that means? It means that God is expecting us to have to come back time and time again to renew our strength, to keep putting it on afresh. And sometimes I think we beat ourselves up for being human. Sometimes we beat ourselves up for being tired and weary. Why am I finding this difficult? Actually, God isn't expecting you to last on your own because you're only human. And what we need to do is keep coming back, because the Bible tells us that God renews our strength. And that's not a one-time fix, because you're still human at the end of the day. But we need to keep coming back and putting our hope on Him, for Him to be our strength and for Him to be our endurance as we take each step as we go. Does that make sense? Is anybody in here this morning that agrees with that? Yes. Amen. Come on. You're all very quiet today. I'm sure you'd rather be in bed, wouldn't you, really? God is expecting us to be tired. He's expecting us to feel weary with life. Let's look at Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2, because this is a fantastic verse. It says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses," what does that mean? That just means we're together here in church. That's what the writer of Hebrews was meaning. Since we're together, since we're surrounded by such great people, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, thankfully, that verse, that little snippet here, doesn't stop there. Let us run with that perseverance. But how are we going to do that? Well, verse 2 says this: by fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. It's through Him alone, isn't it? The Apostle Paul, when he's writing to Timothy in his second letter to him, he says this about the race that he has run. He knows that he doesn't have long left on the earth, and he says this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:7. He says, "Look, I've fought the good fight, and I've actually probably finished my race now, and I have kept the faith." What a great thing to be able to say at the end of his life, isn't it? Here at Destiny, we don't like to just keep verses on their own and isolated. We want to carry on and have a look at the context of these verses. And so Paul carries on, because he doesn't end it there. He says, look, I've kept my faith. I've done a really good job, and I've run this race really, really well. But he said, everybody else has deserted me. But then we get to verse 17, and he says this: but the Lord stood at my side, and He has given me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. Yes, he ran his race so well and he kept his faith, but the only way he's managed that is through the strength that God gives, by keeping his eyes fixed on Jesus. Because as we've just read in that verse from Isaiah, those who hope in the Lord are going to renew their strength. When you wake up tomorrow and you've been encouraged today, you've come and worshipped with us today, you've heard a message of encouragement this morning, and you've got to get on with your everyday stuff. You've got to get back to work tomorrow. You've got to go back to school and college tomorrow, and normal life resumes. You need to make sure that you can walk into that day and not grow faint. And if you're feeling faint today, if you're feeling the strain and the stress of life, then maybe it's time to renew it and keep coming back to Him to renew your strength and endurance. You see, God wants you to walk a good walk. And He knows there's going to be hills and valleys. And so what He does is He gives us everything we need to help us through that journey. He gives us strength and rest, of course He does, when we come to Him and lay our lives down before Him. But here's the other part of my message this morning. He also equips us and gives us the wisdom that we need to make sure every step that we take is a good step. I've got a little challenge for us this morning. Hands up if you've got your mobile phone with you today. A few people. I want you to get your mobile phone out, because we are going to Google Psalm 119. This was not going to work on the screen, because Psalm 119 is the longest verse, is the longest chapter in the Psalms. You're stealing me thunder here, Brian. 176 verses. That's going to come into play in just a second. Now, if you've typed it in Google, you've probably got a link at the top there. If you click it, have a look, because I want you to be able to see this whole thing. Now, the wonderful thing about Psalm 119, I don't know if you know this, but it's actually an acrostic. So there's quite a lot of stanzas in this poem. And basically, it's the Hebrew alphabet. So the first stanza starts with the first letter, the second stanza starts with the second letter, etc., etc. Now, what this chapter is all about is about living and walking well. That's what we're talking about this morning, isn't it? How can we walk well? Well, God strengthens us, he helps us endure, but he also gives us wisdom for life. But how does he give us this wisdom? Now, Psalm 119 has a few words, and I think maybe I put them up on the board. I can't remember whether I put these words up. I did. Okay, here we go. Psalm 119 talks about the Bible for 176 verses, right? Now, I want to challenge you, because these are the words up here that the chapter uses to describe the Bible or God's word. And I want you to skim through. I'm going to give you 10 seconds. See if you can find a verse in here that talks about walking well that doesn't use one of these verses. And there is a point to this, I promise. I'll give you five. And you can skim all the way to the bottom if you want. Have a look. Oh, yeah, no, I'm struggling here. Has anybody found one yet that doesn't have one of those words in it? All 176 verses. Come on, you can do it. There are some in there, by the way. There's verse 9. Oh, we've got a verse 9. Shall we have a look? Verse 9, yeah, you might be right. That might be one of them. There you go. Verse 9 does have the word in, Father. By living according to your word at the end. Yeah, Israel. My point is, thank you everybody, you can put your phones away. My point is that 176 verses are here to describe how God gives us wisdom to walk well in life. And 171 of those verses talks about the Bible. Isn't that interesting? How can we walk well? There's some great little bits of this chapter. Psalm 119, 105 is probably one of the most famous ones. You probably know it really well. It says this: your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. You see, that the person that wrote this psalm makes it really clear that they would not know where to step at all without the word of God, without God's wisdom. And what Psalm 119 is trying to get us to understand is that without this, we're just walking in darkness. We can try and make it up as we go along, but the best wisdom, the best advice, the best way of living actually comes from these pages, doesn't it? And if you want to have a blessed life, if you want to walk well and take each step well, what does the very first verse of Psalm 119 say? It says, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. He alone strengthens and helps us endure, and he alone equips us with how we should live. And I've got three little words this morning that I want us to start to just to look at, just as we sort of come to the last half of my message this morning. Three things, and this is not an exhaustive list. This is just three things that I think God wants us to walk in. And the Bible's really clear, and it often uses walking or running as an analogy of our lives. And I think there's three little things, and here they are. To step humbly, to step honestly, and to step faithfully. It's one of those things, isn't it? Just like a marathon, that is easy as a concept, but difficult in reality. It takes endurance, and it takes us to take each step carefully. Here's a verse from Micah. To step humbly then. Micah 6 verse 8 says this: he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That is what the Lord requires of us. Luke 14, 11. I've just got a few verses about this. We're going to rattle through them. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. Proverbs 3, 34 says, he mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. Proverbs 11, 2 says, when pride comes, then disgrace comes, but with humility comes wisdom. Proverbs 22, 4 says, humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. And then my last one, Proverbs 27, 2 says, let someone else praise you. I love that verse. That puts it in language that I understand. Let somebody else praise you, and not out of your own mouth. An outsider, and not from your own lips. That's pretty good advice, isn't it, I think? That's good advice that we can step into each day and step with. It's the kind of stuff that really is a lamp unto our feet, wouldn't you agree? Here's how God wants you to step. Here's how he wants you to walk. If you want to be somebody that God favors, just as that verse has said that we've read, and actually if you want other people to respect you, you want to do each step well, be a person, don't be a person that tells everybody how great you are. And these verses say that with humility, when you step and you walk in humility, just as that Micah verse says, it actually comes with wisdom. And it comes with respect of God, and it comes with honor, and it comes with life, and it comes with favor. Why would we not want to walk in that way? C.S. Lewis said a very famous quote, the writer, probably most famous for the writer of the Narnia books, he said this about humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. Took me a while for my brain to get around that tongue twister. It's not thinking less of yourself. We're not talking about modesty here. We're not talking about putting yourself down. We're talking about thinking of yourself less. What a great way to walk. And God says when you walk in that, when you step with that day by day, yes, it sounds easy, but actually it's really difficult to keep yourself humble before the Lord. I'm sure we've all met people who are the opposite of that, haven't we, in our time? I know lots of people like that at school who just want to tell you how great they are and how wonderful they are and how great life is with them in it. And God doesn't want you to shout your own praise. In fact, he is looking for the people with the quiet confidence, because they actually know that the only reason they're here is because he is holding them together. That's what humility looks like, doesn't it? I'm not here because of how great and wonderful I am. Actually, when it comes down to it, I am still here because the God of the universe is still deciding to put breath in my body. That's it. And when you start from that place, you can walk in humility much easier. I'm not here because of me. I'm here because of him. You know, there's that great hymn that says, when I survey, it said, forbid it, Lord, that I should boast. Ah. Apart from anything else, but the death of Christ, my God. Stuart Townend wrote a great song called In Christ Alone. He says, I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but the only thing I'm going to boast in is Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. Amen. You want to know how to walk well? You step humbly. What about this one then? Step honestly. Proverbs 10 verse 9 says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely. Oh, man, I want to walk securely. But whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. I love the Bible all over. It just uses this analogy of just walking, stepping with God. How can we walk well? Being someone that is honest is another one of those concepts that's easy to say and more difficult to do and to live every single day, isn't it? It's a hard one. You know, sometimes I often think, I don't remember many people preaching about honesty. It's not really a thing that people preach about a lot. It's not something that people talk about a lot, because I actually think it joins together with integrity a lot of the time. Just like that Proverbs verse, it's all about integrity. You see, our God doesn't deal in any kind of deceit in any way. God can't lie. He can't break promises. He can't cheat. He can't steal. He's perfect in every way. You know, and Jesus said of himself, didn't he, that he is the truth. There is no deceit in God. And so we can walk well if we reflect who God is and walk an honest life. If you want to keep in step with him, we need to step honestly. And it's so easy to overlook sometimes, though, isn't it? Because sometimes we just want to give people an easy answer. Sometimes we just want to get out of something and make it easy for ourselves. But actually, the path that is ahead of us isn't always easy when you're following God, because it always ends up meaning that we have to be and live an honest life. That's a tricky one, isn't it? It's certainly challenging. God is going to bless your life if you step humbly, you step honestly, and lastly, if we step faithfully. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, "But be sure to fear the Lord, serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you." We serve a faithful God, don't we? What a good God he is, and we're reminded about that all the way through the Bible. He is a faithful, lots of the Psalms are praising God because of his faithfulness. We sing a great hymn, don't we? Great is your faithfulness, because he never wanders, he never walks away. And what God asks us to do is to step faithfully. But you see, the thing about being faithful is that being faithful is really boring. I don't know if anybody has found that. Being faithful isn't the exciting bit of being a Christian. Those big moments that we have and we come to know Jesus and it's amazing and we have a big Easter celebration, but it's the faithful bit in between. It's the faithful bit after we've come and sung praise on a Sunday morning and we walk out feeling good. It's the Monday morning faithfulness that God is looking at. How hard is that? The problem is that that's the boring bit, and it doesn't often look very exciting. It's the bit in between the massive moments of life. But you see, God calls us to live a faithful life. You know, it's taken me a lot of years to understand that God isn't looking for me to be the best at everything. He's not looking for me to be the most and the best. He wants me to give my best, but he's not looking for me to give my... What God values much more than a one-shot firework of amazingness, what he values much more is that I wake up tomorrow morning and humbly walk and humbly, faithfully serve him in the in-between moments. That's what God's value. That's who God used in the Bible as well. They weren't all incredible. Moses couldn't even speak to Pharaoh, but he used him because he was faithful and willing. That's what God wants from us, to step humbly, to step faithfully, to step honestly. It's good that we have a God that is with us every single step of the way, isn't it? What a good God he is. He says he's never going to leave us and he's never going to forsake us. And, you know, in the letter that Paul writes to Timothy, he says in the same letter that we read earlier, he says this in chapter 2, verse 13. He says, "Even if we are faithless, he remains faithful." Hallelujah. "For he cannot disown himself," or basically, he cannot disown his children. I want you to be encouraged this morning to go and run your race well, to walk well, and step by step, let the Lord be your strength. Let the Lord renew your strength. He's going to give us the endurance that we need to run this marathon. Amen. He's also equipping us with his word, day by day, so that we can take those steps, the best that we can step. Like a light in the darkness, we know how we can live. Isn't that great? You know, we're going to sing a song in just a second. Why don't you stand with us as we finish our service and our time together? We're going to sing this great song. It says this: all my life you've been faithful, and all my life you've been so, so good. So with every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. We're going to sing a bit of this song together just as the children come in, and then our service is over. Let me just pray for us before we do that, and then we will see you all really soon. Lord God, we want to thank you so much for this day. We want to thank you that today we can come together and worship and honor you and give you the praise that you deserve. Lord, we want to thank you that you've spoken to us through your word. And thank you for the wisdom that it is. Lord, we know that you want us to walk well. So we pray that tomorrow morning, when we start our faithful bit in between our Sundays together, Lord, you'll be with us, you'll strengthen us. And Lord, for anybody right now that is feeling like they need a renewal of strength for this everyday marathon bit of life, Lord, renew their strength. Lord, your word promises us that we're going to soar on wings like eagles when we put our trust and our faith and our hope in you. As you renew that strength today, Lord, I pray that people will walk into tomorrow feeling that you are with them, feeling that you are empowering us as we do our week, not in our own strength, Lord, but in yours. Lord, bless us, we pray. And Lord, be honored in this song. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness. Step by step with
God on our side. Amen. We'll hopefully see you on Wednesday night in the building for our next instalment of Growing as a Christian, and some fellowship before that as well. But if not, have a really great week, everyone, and we'll see you next Sunday morning.